I identify with Shane's mom.
See, but I also clip that. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Football Absurdity TH Fantasy Auction Podcast. X number of do's and Y number of don'ts of playing auction fantasy football. My name is Jeff Crisco, here with my co-hosts on this venture, Tony Steele of TH Fantasy, Evan Hoover, and Waleed Ismail of Mock Drafts on Tap from the Football Absurdity YouTube page. Tony, how's it going?
Football Obscenity patent pending.
You know,
nailed it.
I'm feeling like the man now, dog.
You're the man now, dog.
No, life is good. I'm excited to hop in. We're gonna look at some cool strategy stuff today, and I'm really, really excited.
Yes, sir. Evan, how about you?
I'm feeling like I'm going devil's advocate a lot today. Having prepped for the show, you know. Not 5 minutes ago, but, you know, a lot more like 7 minutes ago.
All right. Nice. Sounds good. Are you going to be Pacino?
I don't know who that is.
Oh, my God. Well, Al Pacino. You don't know Pacino?
Yeah, I thought you said Pacino. I don't know why.
Pacino? All right.
I might need hearing aids. I'm glad this medical alert came to me. This is cool.
Hey, Evan, you're the old man now, dog. Waleed, how are you?
He's Auction Unk.
Auction Unk.
There you go.
That's Evan's new handle. It's a $4 burden getter. Hashtag Auction Unk.
Auction Unk.
Yeah. All right. So today's episode, we are going to be starting off our non-onesie position strategy. So last week we talked quarterback and tight end. This week we're going to talk running back in this episode. Next episode is going to be wide receiver. So we're going to talk about specific strategies about these positions in auction drafts. Again, the thesis for this is that you already know fantasy football. You already know ball. We're not going to be like talking about like sleepers, stuff like that. We're going to be talking about applying your knowledge to the auction space. So first question, we're going to talk about running back. And I want to know, in an auction draft, do you prefer hero running back, which is one stud and a bunch of cheaper guys, zero running back, which is a bunch of cheap running backs, or robust running back, where you're talking multiple guys that you would classify as a stud, maybe top 15 running back, and then filling in after that? So, Evan, what is your preferred method of filling out your roster at running back?
Always robust. The whole point of auction is that I don't want to have to work during the regular season to figure out who my RB2 is. I work on fantasy during the summer, and I work on real world work during the rest of the time. So I just want to get a couple guys I can set and forget. That's my strategy.
Okay, Waleed, what about you?
I am the opposite.
Okay.
Well, here's my thing. I'm actually, this is something that is fluid year to year to me. What I tend to like to do is every year a position is going to be overvalued, like relative to other positions. And my goal is to maximize my value. I think this year is actually a great zero RB year because there's a lot of running backs that are going for a lot of money. And that's kind of depressed the price in some really good like wide receivers. And I want to do the opposite of what the market is doing because that's where you find your edges.
Okay, so
why not just do both? You get those running backs for a lot, and the depressed market wide receivers, you get them too.
Yeah, but I can get Drake London for under $50, and I think that is a gross misvaluation. So I would
exactly. Exactly, you get those depressed market wide receivers, and you get two good running backs. Why not both?
But like the idea of having like Jamar Chase, Drake London, and like AJ Brown, Nico Collins, like that feels really good because I think all of those guys are going for a little bit less than they should, and it lets me find values elsewhere. Like, and it's given me a real strong core. Also, the last 2 years, the reason I'm not as in on running backs this year is like we've had historical low injury rate for the running back position. I feel like that can't, like, eventually the Piper needs to be paid. Like, and the football god comes for ACLs. And I feel like this is a year where running backs are, like, I feel like variance is going to swing the other way. And I'd rather, like, invest in wide receivers when all those running backs get hurt. Like, I don't know what's going to happen, but.
Can I ask a terminology question real quick?
Absolutely.
As the goofus of the room. We're talking, you know, you brought up, Jeff, when you framed this question, you said, you know, zero RB, like anchor hero RB or robust RB. When I'm thinking robust RB in snake, I'm thinking I want two running backs in my first three rounds. And since this is a different format, like, are you comfortable paying, when you say robust RB, if you have a $200 budget, is that like $120 on your top two running backs? Is that $100 on your top two running backs? Like, what are the parameters for robust RB in an
Ooh, and this ties format? Into I think the next the category after next, which is what are your double tap pockets? Where can you get two or three guys? I think there is a pocket where you can do what Waleed says, which is get a depressed market wide receiver and still get two guys where you're like, wow. And so I'm excited to get that part.
So I think a good way of describing this is what we're looking at is like investing like your top two positions. Like, generally I say you want to spend $110 on your top two guys. Like, you want to get a couple guys in there that are like elite. That's generally how I approach it. I want guys who maybe in a snake draft format right now, these are guys who are going in the first round, those top 12 guys. This year I think there's 5-6 running backs depending on the round, and 5 or 6 wide receivers depending, like 6 to 7, you know. It's a pretty even split this year on those positions. So what you're doing is like you're paying a lot of money for that Christian McCaffrey, and maybe like your second round guy, you're getting Derrick Henry for like 40. You like that would still qualify as a robust. What you're doing is you're paying up to secure your starting running back position.
Yeah, I would say roughly half your budget, give or take, on your two top guys at running back. Okay. If you're going robust. Okay. Sure. Yeah.
And the whole element of my, and Waleed's been dropping some mad teams on our mock auctions with this, so I'm not going to hate. But my whole thing is I don't want a top 15 guy if he goes for anywhere near a few dollars over projected. I can get 8 guys to start my team with a solid $200 budget if I just wait. And they're both good strategies. Not hating on Waleed. We you know, we do a show together. But I don't think you need to get those two top guys this year. Waleed has said this is the most he's ever seen that what? The second rounders seem like first rounders. And they seem that it's the flattest. I think you said it's the flattest.
Yep.
The first rounders compared to the second rounders is. And that's where I'm like, yeah, man. Because in auction, if two people want a top guy, he's going to go for so much more. But if, you know, two people want a number 16 ranked guy, and you're not going to get in a bidding war, you can probably surf that wave.
So robust looks more like, I don't know, Genty and Cook compared to like Bijan and Gibbs.
I would go a tier down. I would go, you're thinking right. I would go a tier down. Hold on, I have all my spreadsheets up in here. I would go instead of Genty and Cook, I would go Hampton and Brown, Walker and Achan, sure. Henry and that's Achan. It, yeah.
But then basically just two guys that if we're talking snake ADP would be like early to mid-round two guys.
Yeah. Exactly.
Instead of two early to mid-round one guys, which would cost you what, 70% of your budget?
That's what stats from the last 2 years show, but... Who knows?
Like, because you're looking at just north of 60 for both, just north of 60 for each of Bijan and Gibbs, right? Is that what the numbers are bearing out?
A lot of the time, over 70.
Yeah. So, you're looking at.
I have for a 12 team all human data, Bijan 70, Jahmyr Gibbs average at 74.
Yeah. So you're looking at, 2/3 of your budget at that point almost. I'm sorry, 75% almost.
Sure.
And generally, I won't invest in those guys. And anyone who goes over $65, I will very rarely. Occasionally, I'll sneak in a 67, 68, like, if it's, like, one of those top guys. Like, if I feel like, wow, I'm going to get him under 70, that doesn't usually happen, and this is my chance to get an elite guy. But my problem with spending that much money on any one position is you're paying at their ceiling. You need them to perform like as the number one guy in fantasy, or you're losing value elsewhere. And I think it's a very, you have to be right on that one player, or it will have a huge impact on the rest. Like the margin for error for the rest of your draft shrinks by investing.
I'm reminded of an article that Matthew Berry, back in his heyday, his salad days, wrote, which was like, you can't win your auction on your first round draft pick, but you can lose it. And that's exactly what Wally's saying. You have to be right. And I wrote an article. I've said this again and again and again and again. I'll say it again and again and again. Last year, the top 15 guys went for an average of almost 90% more than the guys ranked 16 through 30. When if you looked at their overall point production for the year, they were about 16% more. So, yeah, the high-end guys in auction go for more than the resource you're allocating in a snake draft. In snake draft, it's just a first-round pick, a first-round overall pick. But in auction, it's a first-round overall pick plus what anybody else wants to bid to steal that first-round pick. Sure. And you got to be super worth it for that. And like Wally said, you got to be on it plus for that. And like, I'm not on it plus, man. I'm just a fantasy football analyst.
Okay. All right, let me ask you this. let's talk about hero running back a little bit. I think we've talked robust. I think we've talked it through. So for hero running back, like we've kind of talked around this, like what range of why am I forgetting the word? Budget. There we go. That's the word. Budget. It, you know why? Because I'm too ballin'. I never have to use that word. what range of your budget are you looking at? Like, because it sounds like, correct me if I'm wrong, but it sounds like both of you are saying it's a negative EV move to be taking a Bijan or a Gibbs at their cost because they are superseding what they would otherwise be worth at the 101 or 102. So my question to you both is, what if you're doing hero running back, like one running back, what dollar amount are you looking at and what range of player does that correspond to?
Like what I will say is, in a hero running back, if that's the way I'm going, I'm actually more likely to pay up if I can get the right price for a Bijan or a Gibbs. Like I told you, I'll pay 65 for them. Like if it and it does happen sometimes. Like in real auctions, in mock auctions, you see people go a lot more aggressively for those guys. But there's a lot of scared money out there once you're actually you've paid your $5 or $20 to be in that auction room. So like having that elite guy and then rounding out with a bunch of wide receivers, I kind of like that. But honestly, anyone who I think is going to finish as a top 12 back is what I'm going to target as my hero RB. I want that guy who's going to be an anchor.
Okay, so you would go as far down as say, well, I guess I would not say Jeremiah like, Love, because he's hurt.
No, so it's not going to be Jeremiah Love. I think my last guy is that Derrick Henry, Devon Achane.
Okay.
Where I really like having hero RB.
And for me, it's kind of similar, but a little different. For that top tier, Gibbs, Robinson, McCaffrey, Taylor, Cook, $1 less than projected. I'm not trying to reinvent the wheel here. There are people who think about this way more than I do. I don't think about projections. I think about auction. And if I get it for $1 less, then hey, like Wally said, if I pay more, I'm staking my team on, okay, I think this guy's going to be better. Well, what do I know? Like, I'm just the guy who balances auctions. So I will bid up to $1 below projected. And if not, I'm like, you know what? It's out of my hands.
And it should be noted, his projections, not other people's.
That makes sense.
Yep. Okay, perfect. If you're doing zero running back, which it doesn't sound like either of you are a proponent of, but if you were.
Oh, I absolutely am.
Okay, you're a proponent of it. So
I absolutely am not.
If you're doing zero.
Yeah, I love zero RB this year.
Okay, Good. I would like to ask you a question about it, if I'm so allowed.
I want to keep talking about how much I like zero RB, so I can't.
Well, you and I are doing Stephen A. Smith versus Stephen A. Smith tonight. That's kind of our bit, I think.
But okay. So if you're doing zero running back, what is the most you're looking to allocate for a single running back spot on your roster? And then a corollary to that is your second guy going to be around the same price? Like if it's $10, are you looking to get two $10 guys? And what range of running back is that spot?
I mean, it really depends on how the market is going. If I let's say I'm going, let's say we're going two starting wide receivers, two starting running backs and a flex. I'm trying to get three wide receivers in that spot. And I probably have $150 of my $200 budget allocated. Probably is my max. I might be a little bit less because some of that's also going to include a tight end. Like, I like paying up for an elite tight end when I'm going zero RB. I love Tucker Kraft and Colston Loveland in this. Guys who could be, like, tight end one. I think it's in their range of outcomes, have top five potential, and are significantly cheaper than McBride and Bowers. But, like, my running back here... Like, I'm probably looking for, like, that Cam Scataboo. Like, for my first RB, I want that Cam Scataboo, DeAndre Swift, someone in that, like, range. And then that second guy, I mean, honestly, like, Ramondre, something like that. And I'm trying to get that for maybe under $25.
And that's total for the two guys?
Yeah, but I might go as high as 30. This is all fluid. It depends on whether I got deals on my wide receivers. Or whether I went hard, like, and I paid a lot. Like, I'll go zero RB if I think that I'm getting a good deal on Puka Nacua, Amon-Ra St. Brown, and fucking Jamar Chase, I'll spend all that money and figure it out later. I'll grab $2 guys. Like, there will be spots to get guys that I think are misvalued and make my move. But for the most part, I'm probably looking at, like, $30 at that running back spot. No, I can't do that. Yeah, $25 is probably about right. And then $145, $150 for my receivers with a little bit of that tight end.
Okay.
And what Wally's illustrating is you don't have to go zero RB to go zero RB in auction. You can get two great guys and still have enough money for like a third rounder or a fourth rounder, which is a good strategy. My issue is that the tier one wide receivers is so narrow for me. Jamar Chase, yeah, the guy who's throwing to him is injured all the time. Puka Nacua, Jackson Smith and Jigba, and Monte Brown, cool. CeeDee Lamb, are you the wide receiver one? I don't know. Justin Jeffries, Drake London, who is throwing it to
Justin
you?
Who?
I don't know. Nico Collins, I know who is throwing it to you, and that is the problem. So it's a great strategy in that in auction, but I'm like, this year, I don't know, man. I don't want these wide receiver ones unless I get two of the three that I want.
Please title the episode Justin Jeffries.
I'm already writing it down. all right. So unlike in a snake draft, right? You could be going zero RB and you end up getting sniped on the guy that you were targeting for your zero RB, right? Cause what Waleed, you mentioned Cam Scataboo. If I'm doing it, like the guy I'm targeting is DeAndre Swift, David Montgomery, those guys.
Yeah.
But if I get sniped on them, then I'm toast. So I think one of the things that I'm just going to kind of bring a proselytize auction is it brings us back to the very first episode, which is you can't get sniped in auction. So you have more control over your zero RB targets. You could get budgeted out. And that's something that you can fix with practice. Yeah. But I would just like to say, I think that honestly, zero RB is a more viable strategy in auction than it is in snake drafts, because so much of zero RB working is survivorship bias, right? The guys who don't get the deep running back snipe from them, that's when their roster works, right? And in this case, since you can't be sniped, you can go after the guys that you want. So I will probably be doing hero RB, but I know there's a tier of running backs that I like more than other people, so I can go and spend on those guys and I won't get sniped. Because we've all done it where you're like, let me try zero RB, and you're like, oh shit, I pushed this way too far. Like my starting running backs are Kenny Gainwell and Rashad White. I am in trouble. Like,
hey now.
So I just want to say that if you're on the fence about trying zero RB in auction, I think it does work better in auction because you can't put, like, you can push it too far. You definitely can do that, but it's easier to pump the brakes on it because you're not like, you don't turn around and look at the running backs and be like, oh my God, there's no running backs, because you have money to get whatever running backs you want.
It definitely works way better in auction.
Yeah.
My counterpoint to those running backs is if you have that, you probably have Ja'Marr Chase, Puka Nacua, and Justin Jefferson. And in which case, like, you might still be okay. Like, that's the trade-off, actually.
Who's Justin Jefferson?
Oh, Justin Jeffries.
Yeah, Justin Jeffries. Hello.
Oh, Justin Jeffries.
He's the Speaker of the Senate. If you do those three guys you said, if you do those three guys you said in draft, you're stuck with, like, looking at Bucky Irving or Bradshaw Tootin. But in auction, you're like, I could just allocate a lot of my resources to get me a,
not a
Kyren Williams. Or Javonte Williams. I don't know why they're all named Williams. Or Breece Hall. Yeah, you definitely can just front load your thing. I don't even think zero RB should be a term in auction, because you can always just bid up and sacrifice your bench or whatever.
Okay, perfect. All right, Tony, do you have any questions about hero RB, zero RB, robust strategy with the boys?
How clear is the relationship between hero, zero, robust, if we're talking about, like, I know we did onesies last week, but are you just transferring all of this over to quarterbacks if playing Superflex?
That's an excellent question.
I've been writing
the
stuff
value down. Yeah, no, this is so here's the thing is, auctions change significantly when a quarterback is involved. Like, if you look at 12-man data, like, okay, you got Josh Allen goes for $31. Lamar Jackson goes for, like, an average of 8. Joe Burrow for 12. You got, like, a bunch of guys in that 10 range. And then, like, it drops significantly. Once you add quarterback, a super flex spot where you can start two quarterbacks, quarterback values become, like, the equivalent of top-tier running backs. Josh Allen is perhaps the most valuable player in a super flex.
Yeah, it does not drop anymore.
Because and the reason for this is there's not a significant difference between the output of QB1 and QB12. When you add a super flex, you have to get the production difference between QB1 and QB24. And that is a much greater gap. And quarterbacks score more than any other position. So, like, that changes it significantly. In that point, like, a super flex, in a lot of ways, you could almost change, like, that hero RB, zero RB, and robust. You could just change it to the quarterback position. And those are the exact same strategies. Like, you can go for that with running back and quarterback, and it becomes an absolutely viable strategy.
Okay.
All right. Sorry.
Yeah,
I'm doing commissioner duties in my home league. I'm sorry.
You're good.
That's fine. I can vamp. Like Waleed said, there's no drop. When you're doing a single quarterback auction, there's a point where all the people who are gung-ho for a quarterback, they get their quarterback. And then the quarterback market plunges, and it's real cheap. In Superflex, everyone wants a quarterback and then wants another quarterback. There is no drop there. So, yeah, you gotta like Tony said, divert any resources you can to quarterback.
But to bring this back to running backs, like, because of the added money that goes into the quarterback position, that actually depreciates, like, the overall value of the running back and wide receiver market. And this year is going to be a very interesting year, I think, because running back and wide receiver are so deep along with quarterback. Like, this is actually a really deep year for quarterback. Like, I love that what is it? Our QB 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. QB 10 is Dak Prescott. QB 11, Brock Purdy. That is like, those are guys I feel really comfortable like with. And that means that there's a lot more flexibility with what you can do. Like, I have not done a super flex mock yet. And I'd like, hopefully, we should probably consider doing that for this Saturday, mock auctions on tap.
Because we need Sunday.
Sundays, yeah. This Sunday, I think. Well, also this Thursday. Small little plug there. But yeah, running backs will be like the max values will go down like $10 for the running back and wide receiver position, it feels like. And then it'll flatten out a lot earlier because all of that money that's going into the quarterback position in a super flex. Okay. I hope that answers your question. If you have any follow-ups, I'd love to answer them.
I mean, it makes sense. I mean, I did some super flex best balls in Snake, and I found myself going receiver running back in the first two rounds and then just circling back with, you know, your Staffords, Mahomeses, your Bo's Knicks, and just trying to not allocate. Like, I didn't want to fight those fights.
And that's
that's drafting,
a fun choice this year.
Right, but then you end up drafting, like, you know, I can get Jalen Waddle and stack him later as my wide receiver 3 instead of like, oh, well, shit, I got Josh Allen, and then I decided to not fall behind at running back. So now my wide receiver 1 is Jalen Coker or whatever.
You really neglected that position.
Hey, it's underdog. Those people aren't very smart.
Yeah.
So somebody sniped you on Jalen Naylor is what I'm hearing?
No, that
was his first
round
pick.
Round 1.
Okay, round 1. Perfect.
You said running back, like wide receiver, running back for his first 2 picks. Like,
okay,
I can't think of anything.
We're talking about guys that I would never pick in auction.
How dare you say that about Jalen Naylor? First of all,
never.
That's because Evan's on a budget. He won't pay.
Never.
All right. So, last week, Tony brought up a great point, which was something that I hadn't thought of before, which was about when you have these pockets of players in snake drafts, you have to decide one of them, right? Like he talks about that Abuka, Flowers, McConkey, Higgins group. Yes. Is that what it is? Yeah.
Nailed it.
Yeah.
And so that's a pocket where you can get two of these guys. So I'm wondering, what are your favorite pockets to like double dip in? Like what groups are you trying to get multiple players out of? What tiers?
I'm doing Greasy Spoon Theory, and I almost always get 2 from the Barkley, Genty, Hampton, Chase Brown, KW3, A10, Henry thing. They cost about $40, $45 each. I have $100, $110 left. It's cool. I can get a team. I'm almost always double dipping there.
Okay. Waleed, what about you? Is there a little bit of a deeper pool that you're diving into?
I mean, the Parker Washington Roma Dunes, they pull.
Wrong position, buddy.
Oh, you're right. No.
Save that for the wide receiver episode.
Yeah. And the reason I'm going for wide receivers there is because if I go a little earlier, I can get that DeAndre Swift, like David Montgomery. Grouping. Is that what Evan just said?
No.
That was like, the opposite of what I just said, but that's so cool too.
Yeah. My question is, though, then, if that's your pocket, does that worry you? Because the way I perceive prices this year, I feel like the Monty DeAndre Swift pocket is the edge of a tier.
Yep.
Because then after that, we're looking at part-time guys, right? We're looking at Travion Henderson. We're looking at Bashaal Tutin. We're looking at Bucky Irving. So are you, if you've identified that pocket and you know that you're paying, I don't know what these guys are costing off the top of my head, maybe $20.
$20 like, each.
Like, yep.
Are you still willing to go up to 24? Because
that's definitely the full cord to stop the train emergency pocket where you're like, bro, I don't got a guy. I'm going to get a guy.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's the worst guy you're willing to have be your I guess, RB2 or a key part of your team.
Oh, yeah.
Well, honestly, like, here's the thing. I'm not like, I like this tier because I think there's some guys that you can get some good value on. Like $30 Kyren Williams is a pretty good price when you consider the offense he's a part of. And like his time, like Kyren Williams is undervalued this year. And I like that. But the thing is, most I'm doing is like hero RB. I like this tier of guys. But like I'm getting one of them and I'm getting one that I think goes for less. Like there's going to always be someone. So I'll probably like that's something I'll solve early in that situation. And then for my second guy, I'm probably taking someone a little bit more boring. Like, and honestly, for a zero RB build, like let's say I'm going full on zero RB in auction. What I'm probably doing is something like a Chuba Hubbard, Rico Dowdle, Jalen Warren, or Ramondre Pollard. Like I'm just going to take two of those guys and spend all my fucking money on tight end and wide receiver. Like that's a tier I like. But ideally, since I'm doing a hero thing, I'm just as likely to pull like one of those DeAndre Swifts, Josh Jacobs, Breece Hall guys.
Okay.
Is there, so I have one last question. And then I can quit the game forever because I'll have all the knowledge I need. I know you guys have all talked about how one of the benefits to auction is you get your guy. You're not stuck holding the bag. But if you play a zero RB, do you ever worry about being left holding the bag? Because like I've been doing best ball all summer. I'm approaching 100 drafts and I have zero Travis Achans because I'm not an idiot. if I feel like I'm running out of potential running backs to get, do you end up holding your nose and eating your vegetables, like eating the diarrhea lettuce and drafting
Jonathan Taylor Farms?
Exactly. No, I don't eat my vegetables, and here's the reason why. I got a lot of guys, and I think Jeff said this once, where he just said, like, these football players are just random number generators, and I have a valuation on all of them that I'm picking. So for the right price, I kind of have guys, like, I have one or two guys that I'm going to make sure I get and I will pay up for, but they're not always going to be the same two guys every draft. Because there's a lot of guys I like, and I kind of, I'll do a few of these drafts, so I'll try to diversify. So I'll find my guy at some point. And, like, it's one of the things where I have, like, a bunch of guys in each tier. So, like, it kind of depends on the draft it's going. Like, let's say I see, like, Jahmyr Gibbs, Ja'Marr Chase, Puka Nacua, Bijan Robinson all go for 70, like, in the first, like, 10 picks. You know what I'd know? I'm going to get a really good price on some of my guys that are like on best ball ADP, like late second, early third rounders. And I could load up on them and I could get myself a team that really is fun. Like I'm picking my guys that I choose based on how the draft is going.
So you're saying you can be a 7-year-old and just not have your vegetables in auction.
Yeah. It's an auction. Get your guys. But like, if you only have two guys, then you might have to eat your vegetables if those are very popular.
It's called the carnivore diet.
You don't have to eat. The amount of vegetables you have to eat is inversely proportionate to the amount of guys you have.
This conversation makes no sense to me because I love vegetables.
Beef tallow running backs.
Yeah. Sounds great. Evan, next strategy is the beef tallow strategy.
Right. Well, that made sense, right? Like, less guys you have, the more vegetables you got to eat.
Yeah.
Sure,
yeah.
I love vegetables. Vegetables are the second best next to meat, dude. I don't get it.
Evan, I need to know that you know that this is a metaphor.
I'm tired of this vegetable slander. Like,
I don't even know. Right. I don't know.
We're tired of it.
Yeah.
But what I'm hearing is Evan does not accept this as a metaphor.
Yeah, Evan does not accept the metaphor. That's fine. That's fair. All right. So we're going to talk about a couple tiers of running backs next. I broke these into budget and bargain bin. So budget running backs are guys that you've both been seeing in your mock drafts going between $3 and $5 or $6. You know, the cheap running backs. Who are your favorite guys to take between $3 and $5 or $6? All right. We'll start with you. Yeah.
Okay. For the $5 to $6, honestly, I like Ramondre in that range. I like I like Blake Corum. I understand that I shouldn't like Tony Pollard. I understand all the red flags behind him. But $4, like, Tony Pollard's going on average for $4. And, like, I feel like for a lead running back, who I think is still a pretty good running back, like, I think low-key, he's, like, he's a starter. He's got some good value. I like him at his price. I think Chuba Hubbard, like, $6, I get everyone loves Jonathan Brooks. I'm not convinced Jonathan Brooks will be able to finish the year. Like, his history of playing football tells me he won't. Like, there's a 50-50 chance. So taking that investment on Chuba Hubbard feels like a really solid value, lets you pay up elsewhere. And if things go right, man, that could be real nice.
The answer for me is Tony Pollard or give me a dollar guy, like Waleed said. Everyone's like, you're not concerned about the offensive line? You're not concerned about this and that? I'm like, yeah, but we were concerned about it last year, and he got 1,300 yards from scrimmage. Well, scrimmage, that was like funny. Scrimmage. I talk like a grown-up. But like that, it's Tony Pollard or bust. Like Tony Pollard or a dollar. Like Tony Pollard or a dollar.
Okay. All right. And then are there any guys going in that range that you think is just a waste of money? The $3 to $5 range. Let me ask this. How much does Bashal Tootin go for?
Bashal Tootin goes for $11.
Yep.
Good God.
I think you've opened my spreadsheet, sir.
Yeah.
I would. Nice.
We're talking about auction. Of course, I'm going to have your spreadsheet. It has like the best viable data on the internet. You can find is it on the website or is it just in the Discord?
Just the Discord. For our Discord.
So you got to join our Discord if you want to get these values.
Trevion Henderson is also going for an average of $11. Just to let you know where people's brains are right now, which is not in their head.
Okay, so you said Tony Pollard's going for $5, is what you said?
Four.
Okay, who's going for $7?
Fusion. Chuba Hubbard and Jalen Warren walked into the teleportation device from the fly and merged bodies, and they're going for $7.
Okay.
What he's saying is Jalen Warren is going for $8 and Chuba Hubbard for $6.
Okay, so you'll say...
don't do fly math.
Yeah, I don't do fly math. I think that's Common Core, right? It is fly math. Okay. It's so reading, you could get Bashal Tootin or Tony Pollard / Chuba or Tony Pollard / Jalen Warren.
Rico Dowdle. Yeah.
Rico Dowdle. So you could get two of these guys. So that's what I think the key is when you're talking about these later running backs is you want as many bites of the apple as possible, right? And if you're investing $11 in Bashal Tootin better hit because you're eschewing two bites at the apple with the tier right behind him by AAV. Because you can get two of those guys for $10 to $14, right?
But not necessarily. That depends on how your start of your auction has gone. If you've gotten like five positions and you've only spent $150, but they're like values, you can take those extra shots. Like,
but what I'm saying,
how you budget it.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that if you don't like Bashal Tootin, if you don't feel right about Trevion Henderson, the value proposition of skipping those guys is so much more than it is in a snake draft, because you can take the Bashal Tootin, Trevion Henderson money and go get two guys that maybe one of them will bust, but one of them should be higher than your Tootin, your Henderson.
I'm going to take that a step further. You can just nominate them for $1, and if you nominate them early enough, they might go for 15 or 16. You just made someone spend $16 on a guy you don't like at that part of the draft.
I'm going to take it a step further and say that Wally, not only is that good, Jeff, not only is that good advice, at this time, people are getting desperate for running backs. So that's why Bashal Tootin is going for $11. He's last in the last tier. You know? That's why all these guys are going for such inflated prices. Bucky Irving, Trevion Henderson, because people won't have these running back slots filled and they'll panic and they'll just inflate it. So just if that's happening, just wait.
Okay. Perfect. Sounds good.
I have Evan's sheet up. And I did want to throw my favorite $3 to $5 running backs based on this data.
Yeah.
Big fan of Kenny Gainwell. I wrote an article for Football Absurdity's website about trying to corner the market on pass catching running backs because that's where you go after you run out of bell cow receivers.
Yeah.
So I like Kenny Gainwell, and guys, I don't know, man. You could just chop my legs off, but for $4, like, I'm totally fine with J.K. Dobbins.
Oh man,
absolutely. You know, absolutely. He's $3, not $4.
He's most likely gonna get hurt. Yeah. But if you're telling me that I can get 10 weeks of RB19 for $4, that seems like a good deal to me.
And I think those two guys are very similar yet very different in that J.K. Dobbins, I want in my starting slot, my flex, because he's going to do great early. Kenneth Gainwell, I want on my toolbox bench because I'm like, the more I wait, the more Bucky Irving is going to, you know, fall off, and the better Kenneth Gainwell's stock is going to be. So, yeah, they're two great plays for two different reasons.
Okay. I actually missed one that I think, especially for a zero RB build, is like Zach Charbonnet is a guy you can get and throw in your IR slot. And the only reason he's going for $3 is because he's coming off the ACL. Second half of your season, he could be a guy who's like all of a sudden like a solid RB2 in that offense good team.
I'm looking at your guys' prices here, and I feel like I'm picking up what you're putting down about like I can get two guys for the same price as one. Like you can pay $6 for Jalen Warren, or you can pay $6 for Dobbins and Charbonnet, who between the two could give you 17 weeks of good return.
Absolutely.
And Dobbins will be great early, and Charbonnet will be great late. It's a nice role filler.
Yep. I like it.
Yeah.
All right. Perfect. And then let's round out the running backs episode. Let's talk about some of the $1 guys, which I want to remind everyone, when you get down to $1, the opportunity price of taking the top $1 guy versus the bottom $1 guy is the exact same. There's no difference between like a 10th rounder and a 15th rounder. So just keep that in mind when you get down to your dollar days.
I do have a question about the dollar days before we get into it. I'm worried that if I really want a $1 running back and I only have, you know, we're just filling out benches, right? So everyone's only got a little bit of cash. Are you trying to wait on the guys you want the most during the $1 thing so you don't have to pay too much? Or are you trying to put the onus onto your opponents to maybe their max bid is $2? So like, hey, bro, if you really want Jonah Coleman, like you're going to have to give up that extra dollar. Like what's the strategy for when everyone's kind of low and you're looking at those deep guys?
I'm trying to A, wait, and B, have a $2 max bid.
Okay. Exactly.
Yeah. One thing Evan does tend to approach is he likes to have a dollar for each bench spot left so that he can do that $2 bet to try to make sure he gets his guys.
Okay.
I'm a guy who only goes to $1. And here's the thing you have to understand. If you only have a $1 max bid and you don't nominate your guy, someone else might nominate him before you do.
Sure.
So you just have to like if you've gotten to that point, you just got to hope for the best. Like, and like you got to have to balance it out too. Cause if they're further down the list and that's your guy, then maybe you can afford to wait till these other guys like go. But if there's enough people who still have it, and some guys are going to nominate those guys cause they don't like them and they want someone else to spend that $2. So it's all about kind of reading the room and putting yourself in a position to succeed.
Okay.
One thing I think is really important too is when you're down to the dollar days, and if somebody has a $2 max bid, say you and another guy don't have your tight end yet, and he has a $2 max bid, right? And you have more money than that, bid $2. He's automatically boxed out.
Sure.
Yes, that's a great bit of advice.
Yeah, because he's automatically.
You can click the button that says max bid and see exactly what Jeff is talking about.
And I want to add a note here because you did the $3 to $5 range, and then you did $1 range, and I'm going to roll the $2 guys into the $1 range.
That's fair.
They need to be addressed because I actually like two of these guys a decent amount.
Okay.
And those guys are Rashad White and Chris Rodriguez Jr. I think Rashad White is going to end up being like that Austin Eckler role in Washington. They didn't pay him a lot of money, but they paid him enough that I think that they see a vision for him. Got a history with Jaden Daniels, and for $2, like, I know what could potentially be a high scoring offense. I think that's a solid bet. And Chris Rodriguez Jr. is a $2 player that, especially with the injury to LeGarrette Quinn.
LeQuinn Allen, yeah.
Oh, LeQuinn Aaron.
LeGarrette.
I don't know what I did. I don't know what I did there.
Too much.
Okay. You Justin Jeffries it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Justin Jeffries over here.
My hubris gets me again.
That's right. All right. Any other running backs that you want to call out for any?
Yeah, I'd also like to throw, and all these guys, like, in my sheet, they're listed for $1, $2, $3. They could go for less. They usually do. Kyle Manungai.
Well, Kyle Manungai is not a $1 player.
He's a $3 player, but I'm saying I've seen him go for $1 plenty of times. He goes for $3 50% of the time, but he goes for $1 many times. Like,
I would say out of the list of data that I have in front of me, to me, it's if you're not betting on $3 or $4 J.K. Dobbins, you should probably be betting on $1 Jonah Coleman.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I love Jonah Coleman, Tyler Allgeier, especially with the love injury. They paid him in the offseason. Like, I think people are assuming that it's not going to be a 50-50 split, and I think it is, at least for year one.
The only difference between those two players for me is that one of them's running behind the best offense in football, and the other one is not.
And the other one's Jonah Coleman.
Hey, yeah. Whoa there. And then
Jacoby Brissett did really well last year.
And then I'm looking at my best ball exposures, and my highest exposed running back is Tajay Spears. So I'm a big fan. I think he's a great bye week guy.
I love
Tajay. I'm drafting up the letter to the Sean Tucker Society right now, just so you know.
Let's go.
Well, oh, yeah. No, I got.
That's a $1 player, but I don't even think he's getting nominated in a lot of leagues. I mean, it's not on the sheet.
Nah.
Right?
Yeah.
No, that's real best ball sicko stuff to have Sean Tucker on your team. He's not going off. No. He's too deep.
Yeah.
I mean, he's the sixth guy on your bench, though.
Yeah. He'll do better than Bashal Tutin, folks.
God bless.
Woo. Let's go. All right. That's it for running backs. So we'll be back next episode with a very similar format to be talking about wide receivers. So for Tony and Waleed and Evan, this is Jeff. Thanks for listening. Take care and have a good one.